For a brief moment, I despair that we'll ever get to Tembin. Three of us, myself, my friend Laura Berger, and our driver, Paul Vatlam, had successfully made the trek from Kavieng, the biggest city in the Papua New Guinean province of New Ireland, to the outskirts of Tembin, one of the three most renowned shark-calling towns in the world. The problem? A storm had washed away the bridge to Tembin several years ago, and no one had ever bothered to fix it. Some of the villagers had heard we were coming, so they decided to pile onto the back of our white Toyota 4x4, further complicating our task. Now we are facing crossing a river and navigating a swamp, all without tossing several uninvited hitchhikers over the side. Luckily, Vatlam happens to be one of those people who manages to be fearless, deft, and cheerful at the same time. "We will do it," he says, nodding, speaking as much to himself as to Laura and me. And then by shifting gears, gunning the engine a bit, and weaving back and forth, he manages to coax the truck through first water and then mud. The truck rocks slightly, but no one falls off, and within minutes we have arrived in a settlement that looks like a throwback in time, the sort of village in which a Peace Corps volunteer would have arrived in the 1960s. As the hitchhikers leap off the truck, our welcoming committee comes out to meet us. It is led by Salam Karasimbe, a lean, wiry man sporting a broad smile, a single piece of cloth wrapped around his hips, and a black sweatshirt emblazoned with the words, "New York," trailed by a few women, several small children, and an assortment of pigs. Karasimbe looks like the kind of man who has answers. He is the strongest living connection to the way humans used to see sharks hundreds of years ago. And despite an array of modern-day pressures, he has kept this worldview intact, in a place that seems much closer to our past than our present. It is one of the best ways to understand how the worlds of sharks and humans intersect, and what happens when this relationship is thrown off balance. Karasimbe is, in his own words, the world-famous shark caller of Kantu. World-famous may be a bit of an overstatement. Most people have never heard of either shark calling or the remote island province, New Ireland, where it is practiced. But the Australian filmmaker Dennis O'Rourke did feature Karasimbe in his 1982 documentary, The Shark Callers of Kantu, an anthropology cult classic. And when it comes to Papua New Guinea, that qualifies for global exposure. In a world where most humans view sharks with a mix of fear and loathing, Papua New Guinea is one of the few places where people embrace them. For the villagers in Tembin, Mesi, and Kontu, the three towns that still practice shark calling, sharks are an integral part of their creation story, a religious faith that has endured for centuries. In many ways, New Ireland, the province that is home to shark calling, is a microcosm of Papua New Guinea itself. At least 17 distinct languages are still spoken there, and while humans have lived on the islands for at least 32,000 years, it was only colonized by the West when Germany claimed it as a colonial protectorate in 1885. Charted in 1767 by the British navigator Philip Carteret, who named it on the basis of its relationship to another larger nearby island, New Britain, New Ireland served as a port for American whaling ships in search of water and provisions during their voyages. Missionaries have worked relentlessly to make Papua New Guinea into a Christian country. According to the 2000 census, 96% of the populace identifies itself as Christian. While missionaries are a rare sight in much of the South Pacific at this point, they are still ubiquitous in even the most isolated of Papua New Guinean villages. They often provide basic services, including schooling, and in exchange, they demand fealty to a Christian God.